journey working in the K-pop industry as a K-pop trainee.
If whoever above is saying, like, I can't do something and I have to do this thing, mm-hmm. I just thought I'm supposed to obey them.
Oh.
I didn't know I had a choice in my own life to decide
right.
what I wanted to do.
Welcome back to another episode of Prugugi Pod. I am Hannah, your host, and we have Hannah, my guest, on today. It's very confusing when we're in the room together.
Always.
It was funny because my sister called you Tall Hannah, and I was like, So what am I? Tell me what I am, if that's Tall Hannah. And
right.
She's like,
You are. At least you didn't say short.
Yeah.
Because you're not short.
I'm like...
You're not short.
I think I'm short. I think 5'2 is
you're
little.
Not short. I think you're normal.
Oh, but then you're like model. I always
not
like
model.
No,
like
she,
avatar.
No, she like.
I think that's the similarity right
that
there.
Is so funny, dude. Oh my gosh, no, not and you're wearing blue.
And I'm wearing blue.
Yeah, but you guys probably recognize Hannah from another episode we did with June. But me and Hannah. Reached our year anniversary, year friendship. Yay! People always ask us like, oh, how'd you guys meet? And so we met through a mutual friend, but our friendship has like blossomed since then. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm like constantly like learning from you.
Likewise.
Yes. And so it's just been a beautiful friendship, but I kind of wanted to like delve into your life mm-hmm. because I think you have like such a unique story.
She has a story. Really. No, you do too.
Yeah. And I think, right, like that's the beautiful thing about like meeting people is mm-hmm. like everyone has their own story. You just have to like kind of dig in order to get to like the roots of it and whatnot. But I know we touched upon it in our last episode together, but mm-hmm. I guess... Do you want to share a little bit about like your journey working in the K-pop industry as a K-pop trainee? like how did that go down? How did you get there?
It's going to sound really cliche.
Uh-huh.
But I kid you not, I was walking to Hollywood Bowl because long time ago there used to be like a K-pop festival.
Oh, I remember
Do you
that
remember?
Fest. I would go every year.
Yeah. It was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened to it, but I was walking with my friend, and then this lady pulled me aside. I know.
Whoa.
I know. I was so fearless. I was 10.
Oh.
She pulled me aside, and then I remember it was the bathroom right before you, like, reach the hill.
Oh, okay. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And she was like, hey, like, are you interested in doing, like, music, dance? And I was like, oh, I dance. And I sing.
And like, I got that covered, lady.
Like, I'm sorry, what? But she's like, oh, great. Like, can I just film you doing it?
Oh.
Now, if you think about it, it's creepy. Like, back then, it was just like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, sure. So I just did whatever. song that popped into my head.
Oh my gosh, you're literally fearless.
Literally. And I danced probably to no music.
What? Bro, you acapella danced? That's literally wild. Oh my gosh. Like, that's like when, you know, at like family reunions and they're like, dance for us. And it's like, no, that's weird. You're literally out there dancing.
Yeah. I did all that. And then she gave me her like 명함. And then I remember I took it and I gave it to my parents. But back then, that company wasn't known for music necessarily.
Oh.
They were big about other imports.
Oh.
So my parents just thought, okay, it's probably like a scammer or like something weird.
Right.
They just forgot about it. But then they reached out to my mom because she has like a big Korean dance studio in LA.
Mm-hmm,
they figured it out. They contacted her. They asked me for a second audition.
Oh.
So this time I went with my mom and we went to the casting director's hotel room.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
I feel like back then,
that
was like a little bit more normal.
Yeah, and I went with my mom.
Right.
And I did the same thing. And then she was like, oh, are you funny?
Oh, is Hannah funny? Is Hannah funny? Dude, every freaking dinner, I'm just ruining my makeup.
No,
thank you so much.
You're funny. Yeah.
I think I've been.
I think we're funny. Yeah, so I auditioned. She flew back the next day. I got a call back and I signed within that week.
Oh my gosh.
A contract.
Boom, yeah. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. And back then the contract was 10 years. So I was bound to the company starting my first single.
Oh my gosh.
So they could technically keep me forever.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I did
that.
So
you were, so that happened when you were 10?
When I was 10.
Okay. And then so, like, I guess, like, timeline-wise, mm-hmm. like, were you training out here? Like, mm-hmm. what did that... Oh.
For the first 5 years, they were trying to do it here and make us, like, the first Korean girl group to debut in America.
Oh, nice.
So we had all the top vocal coaches. We had all the top choreographers back then. Like, everybody that did, like, Beyonce, Madonna, oh Britney Spears.
Oh my gosh. Oh my.
Yeah.
Britney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Britney is my Britney.
I know. I know. So I did that. I went to school. But obviously with the laws here, I couldn't train like every single day mm-hmm. like they do in Korea because I had to go to school.
Right. Right.
So it was just like late night trainings, weekends. I never had a weekend. It was pretty chill. I liked it because I like dancing, singing, whatever.
Right. It sounds like low-key an after-school program, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we would just do what they called eval, which is evaluations, every month.
Oh, okay. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've, like, heard about evals.
Yeah.
But my only context is that Lisa loves eval day. Like, apparently she loves it, mm-hmm. and apparently everyone else in the industry hates it. And so, I mean, what goes down during eval days?
I think the first couple years I liked it, right? Because I was such an attention seeker.
Me too. I love attention.
Yeah. And like it was just, we had to prepare one solo song, a rap song, like a pop song, a Korean R&B song, freestyle choreography, and then a group choreography and a group song.
Oh, wow.
So there was a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And I don't know what I had to, but I had to prepare like comedy skits.
Oh, because you're the funny one.
I guess.
That's so oh my god.
Yeah, so I had to do that and then
Do you remember any?
You do.
I need to see you do it.
Thinking back, not funny. Not funny.
But like made you who you are today. Like I feel like when things are like, you know, a little more down, like you're able to like break the ice, like break the seriousness. Like yeah. I think that's like a great quality to have, you know?
Yeah, just fearless, I think. Overly confident and fearless for sure.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then I think right when puberty hit, that's when I started realizing, oh, like I'm getting judged every day. Oh, like I'm not good enough. Oh, like I'm not skinny enough. Oh, I'm not pretty enough. Like stuff like that started to accumulate, and that's when I started like fearing eval day.
It was like a
countdown.
Yeah, that makes sense because mm-hmm. I feel like growing up, like I was so confident, like mm-hmm. right, you don't know like how like cruel the world can be.
Exactly.
And then like I mean going through middle school, comparing myself to all these girls, mm-hmm. like that's when social media first started popping up. Like I literally can remember exactly when the insecurity started creeping in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess like same for you, it was kind of like manifested through evals.
Yeah, I think so. Cause like even before I signed with a Korean company and did the K-pop stuff, I was a child actor here in Hollywood since like 4, and I was modeling since then. And like I didn't care. Like if I didn't get a job, to me, I don't even remember that. Like I just remember when I did book a gig, like going on set, it was just fun. I was just hanging around. I was playing.
Right, right.
But I think you're right where like starting the eval, that's when I started being more self-conscious, being aware. And then that's when I started getting in my head. And I think that's when like, you know, body dysmorphia.
Oh, yeah.
Started and like, eating disorder. And just being more reserved and definitely creating a persona of who I thought I had to be.
Right. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, like, during this time, like, were the people training you, like, would they, like, straight up, like, tell you, like, you're not skinny enough, like, you need mm-hmm. to stop? Like, it was very, like, outright just insulting almost.
Yeah, now that I think about it, because, like, they're like 50-year-old men, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling like 10, 11 year old girls, prepubescent girls, like, oh, like you're chubby. Oh, you're not pretty enough. Oh, like you need to do this to your face. You need to do that.
Right.
But it's like my face hadn't even fully developed.
Right, right. And so, yet they're pushing all of this.
Exactly.
And so how are you? I mean, like, I'm sure like in hindsight you processed a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I guess like during that time, like, did you just take everything on of like, oh yeah, that does need to be fixed? Like, how are you feeling about it, I guess, like in that moment?
I think, to be honest, I'm very grateful to my parents, because especially my mom, she's very strong. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know another way to explain her, but she's very strong. So she really made me secure in myself until I think the age of 17, which was when I went out for Miss Korea. That was like a whole nother stage where I was like, oh, like, fuck, there's so many pretty girls out there. Like, am I supposed to look like this? Why don't I look like that? Why am I darker than the average Korean girls?
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I started to really, like, get into my head and just let all my insecurities devour me.
I don't know much about pageant life.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like toddlers and tiaras, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know, like, very surface level, mm-hmm. but I guess, like, the culture of it, do you think it's, like, way more intense than, like, what you had experienced prior? Or, like, I guess if you had to, like, rank, like, kind of, like, the toughness mm-hmm. of pageant world versus, let's say, like, dance world versus, like, K-pop world, like, mm-hmm. where does that rank?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I think it's much different now than when I went out. Because, like you said, when we were growing up, that's when social media just started.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we had all the access that people do nowadays. So I think there was less of a model that we could compare ourselves with. We would compare ourselves to like TV stars or like people we saw in the magazine.
Oh, right.
But like now it's like you look on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, and you just compare yourself to everyone and everything.
Yeah, yeah. No facts.
So I think if I went out now, then like I would just combust.
No, yeah. Like literally I'm exploding.
Yeah.
I can't deal.
I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. And so yeah, I guess like you said 17,
mm-hmm.
Miss Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at Miss Korea 2017. Is that correct?
2013.
Oh, 2013?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. dude, I don't think you guys like realize like how much I've like tried to stalk Hannah, and she's like so low key. Like, I think I eventually found it, but I went through every single year. I was like, okay, nice. And so like, I also know that you moved. And mm-hmm. so when did that happen?
I moved right after Miss Korea at 17. Oh,
okay. Okay. And that was because the training program just decided.
Well, yeah, because by then I was too old now.
Oh.
To debut in a girl group.
Oh.
So they wanted to transition me into modeling.
I see. Okay.
Modeling and acting, because they're like, you're too old.
At 17 years old, like, you're too old.
You're too old.
Oh, what was that experience like? Like, not debuting after however many years of, like, putting in work?
Looking back, I think I was extremely devastated, and I think my pride and my ego was crushed at a young age because it was like that was all I did.
Like, that was your life.
That was my life. And then just because I aged out, they were like, oh, not anymore.
Oh my gosh.
But I just like moved on. It was kind of like, okay, like onwards and upwards. Like, what else am I gonna do? And I just thought, if whoever above is saying, like, I can't do something and I have to do this thing,
mm-hmm.
I just thought I'm supposed to obey them.
Oh.
I didn't know I had a choice in my own life to decide
right
what I wanted to do.
Right. Especially because, like, you signed so young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like you're reading your own contract, mm-hmm. like, let alone, like, understanding what the right. terms are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's just like, oh, okay, this is my path. I'm accepting it.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I thought I just might as well do the most that I can with this new career, because I thought if I give up now and I decide like I don't want to do it, I thought about, oh my God, everyone's going to talk shit. Everyone's going to be like, oh, she's a has-been. Or like, you know, like I just thought about what other people would expect me to have done. But to be honest, they don't give a fuck. Like, nobody's paying attention to me.
Like, it's just, everyone's paying attention to themselves. So, yeah.
But it was just me in my own head. Just like eating myself and just thinking like, I have to prove them wrong. I have to prove them wrong. Like, but like, no one cares.
Right. Dude, wait, I like completely relate to that sentiment. Yeah. Because I think like one of the most like defining experiences in my life is like, I got into college early, went to college early, and I hated my freshman year. Like, I was suffering just because I don't think I was like mentally prepared to go to college. It was like right after junior year, oh, okay, I got into USC. I have no other choice. But same as you. It's like, I was too young to like think through the decision. And so I thought that this saying yes was the only option. You know, there was like no other consideration. And even though I hated my freshman year, I was like, I'm not like literally dropping out, changing schools. All of that was not an option because I was thinking too much of like what other people would think of me. I mean, even now, right? This is a very like public facing platform and whatnot. And so I think just like seeing how much other people talk about other people, like I'm like, oh, they're probably talking about me in that same way. But like in reality, it's like, oh, it's only like the gossipers and like the shit talkers are actually talking about you.
And like, you know, like if you could think of it in a good way, it's like that means you're relevant, I guess, right?
Oh yeah, it's like, oh, you're hating, okay, I got haters.
Yeah, like I feel like no matter what you do and no matter how good and like how pure and like an angel you are, there's always gonna be those people that are trying to tear you down. It's like, you can't satisfy everyone. We try to be as inclusive. We can't include everybody, but we try. Like, let's see them try, but like, we're not doing anything.
I know. It's always like the observers, like just the people commenting and watching that are like the most judgmental.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, I like, I'm always like applauding people who like actually put in work, actually like do the action. trying out here. But yeah, I guess like what was your life like going to university in Korea as well as modeling and whatnot?
I think, to be honest, I leaned heavily towards alcohol.
Oh, that's fair.
But the culture in Korea is like social drinking is just normal. And like that's how you create friendships, that's how you close deals in like business. And so it was just, I was always around it. And also like even like trainee days, like you're expected to, you know, go out and entertain the atmosphere and socially drink and make sure you network and the same with school. Even when I was going to university, like the hierarchy was so distinct. If let's say a sophomore or a senior says like, come out and drink, like you have to, or else our entire class would be, I don't know how to say chipap. You would get some sort of punishment.
Whoa. It's almost like hazing,
I guess. Yeah. Like hazing. But isn't hazing supposed to be fun?
No.
Oh no.
Oh, well, I feel like,
I don't know.
I don't think so. I feel like hazing is like, oh, I'm like, gonna punish you in some sort of way, like make you drink.
Oh, but that's like the extreme, right? Or like walk around with your underwear or something.
I think there are like more extreme stories. Like I've definitely like heard it, but like that's very like under the radar because people will get kicked off and like in trouble for it. But that happens just like, because I think hazing, that's very much connected to like frat culture and like sorority culture. But then is this happening just like in university in general, like without the frats?
I think regular, I don't know how to say it, not regular universities, but like Yonsei-daehakgyo, Goryeo-dae, or Iwa-dae, where it's like a bigger university with a bigger campus, they do have some sort of like 동아리.
Oh.
But ours were so small.
Oh, I see.
That it was more of like by class.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just because like they knew everyone.
Right. Our class was just always so small. The numbers that get accepted is really small. So it was just, it was all about like 동기사랑. 동기사랑 나라사랑. That's what.
I don't even know what that is.
I think it's like an army term, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
동기, like graduating class.
Oh, okay. Oh, right? It's like 동갑.
Is it? I don't know. Maybe. To be honest, I didn't even try bothering to understand.
you're just like, yeah, I get it now. Yeah, I accept it.
Okay. So it was just like, we were kind of like, we weren't able to do things on our own.
Oh.
단체 생활.
Okay.
So we had to be a team.
Oh.
We had to move.
By class. Okay, okay. So it's a very like tight knit.
Yeah.
Type of culture.
And I think so, it was because like army, maybe.
Mm.
And it's like, especially with arts or sports, I heard those majors are very strict about the whole 단체 생활.
Oh, I see. Because I think like one of the biggest cultural differences that I don't necessarily like get is like the elder stuff. Mm. Like I can totally respect, like, yeah, respect your elders. But definitely when I like meet people like from Korea, like directly from Korea, and there's like an automatic like question of, oh, what year are you? Like, what year are you born? And then I feel the dynamic change. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, okay, I'm older than you. Like, I'm going to treat you this mm-hmm. way. I always like feel it automatically. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how to like navigate this. Like, I don't know if I'm doing things wrong. Like, I don't know if I'm overstepping my boundaries. So it's always something that I think tread more lightly
mm-hmm.
like on, mm-hmm. especially to like people who grew up in that culture from, you know, day one. And so, yeah, I can imagine like in university, especially a small university, it's like, and like where egos are attached because it's the arts.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably like really intense.
It was very intense. Like even like crossing your legs, like we weren't allowed to cross our legs.
What?
Because that's deemed to be very disrespectful in front of like older people.
Interesting.
And like there was like a way that we would have to bow. There's like a whole greeting. So if you're a senior and I'm a freshman and I saw you coming in.
Yeah.
I would have to run up to you, do the bow, 90 degrees obviously.
Oh, duh.
And I would have like my little like intro segment.
Oh.
Which would say like my graduating class. First and last name,
mm-hmm.
major, which department?
Oh my gosh. And like, let's say you didn't see me.
Oh.
What's happening? But I saw you.
Ooh, that night, that means your entire class is getting the hazing or punishment.
And so would they just like make you drink? Like what? Are you allowed to share? You don't have to share.
It's more extreme.
Okay.
Just because I think it's better now. Even like, to be honest, 7-8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
professors like knew that this was happening, and they kind of, they didn't instigate it, but they did think of it very old school minded, where it was like, if you guys get punished together, then you work hard together, then you make great art together. And it's, you become
like,
one.
Oh my gosh. They're like literally trying to trauma bond you.
Yeah.
And it's like, use your resources. Like, you have an artist, a photographer, a dancer, and like.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. That was like the original content house. Like, you are a TikTok house. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy moly. Okay, so they, so teachers would just like kind of turn a blind eye. Like, they're like,
mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. You will make great art together.
Yes.
Oh my god.
You will be in harmony.
Yeah. That makes sense. So do you feel like it worked? Like, are you in harmony with your class?
I don't know if we were in harmony because fear of punishment.
Yeah.
But I mean, we were a group of people that were crazy about the same art and creating great art and creating something new and, you know, uplifting our culture and our traditions and our heritage. So I think I kind of suppressed how bad it was.
Right.
But I'm sorry to say this. Maybe I'm konde. Okay, I am konde. I don't know.
Konde?
Like when you say, oh, back in my day.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
I don't know what the term is in English. Old. Is there a term? Okay, yeah, yeah. when I became upper class, and I saw like the newer freshmen come in.
Right.
When they did misbehave or they were rude,
right,
the first thing I thought of was, ah, it's because they didn't get hazed, which is bad.
Oh, I always joke, but like partially joke, like bring back bullying. Like we are raising weak kids.
Well, yeah, that I agree. You know? That I agree.
Yeah.
And like, they're very like, oh, my contract is 9 to 5.
Oh, you have work-life boundaries?
Which maybe they're the smarter ones. Maybe they're living the right way.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I like question it too. Because I'm like, had I not been forced to like work overtime or like put in work and like be hazed a little bit, like would I not have this mindset of like, because I suffered, you should suffer too? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then I've like been called a kyopo like so often when like being in Korea as well. And like, I don't know, I feel a type of way about it. Mm-hmm. Like I know that like it's like almost coming out of disrespect. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, for you, like, did you also like have similar experiences?
Yeah, I think we are ostracized as Korean Americans when we're in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fair because like when you look like a foreigner, they treat you with the utmost respect.
Oh, it's like very like white centric. Yeah. Like, very like, oh, yeah. You You're made it to America. Yeah.
Yeah.
American dream.
Yeah. But like if we look like us and we speak English, then they kind of like, oh, 잘난 척해.
Uh-huh.
한국말 못해요? Like, 한국 사람 아니에요?
Right, right.
Like, or like older people will be like,
uh-huh.
한국애가 한국말 해야지.
Right, right. Yeah. And like when I try, I'm like, oh, I'm very embarrassed. But like you told me, like if you're in Korea, you gotta speak Korean, you know?
But now that I'm here, I do get a lot of people saying, are you from Korea? Like, are you born in Korea?
Oh, that's confusing.
But I also get it because my mannerism, I think, is very... You know?
I do know. I do know, yeah.
So it's like now I'm just like, I don't even know.
I feel like you're definitely living in the dash between Korean American. More so than I think I am. Like if I had to like pit us against each other, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so fucking confusing for you. Huh? Because like, I'm like American, you know, like I don't speak Korean. I don't have Korean mannerisms. Like I never had to go through any sort of like elder, like respect, like hazing, like any of the experiences that you had to go through at such a like pivotal age. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I think that all happened when you were like the most almost impressionable, you know,
for sure.
And so, oh my gosh, that must have been like so confusing coming back as well.
Oh yeah. The first year was so bad, actually. I remember even just looking at palm trees.
Yeah. You're like, trees?
I was like, whoa, were these always here?
Because you didn't notice when you were like,
no,
growing up.
I didn't.
It was just like part of the background.
Yeah. And then like, even now, like I'm asking you about the right vocabulary or the right like adjective to use, but it's like, I was born and raised here and I lived in the States. I lived in LA all my life.
Right.
And I still have that like, oh, what's that term in English? You know, it's still like very hard.
Right.
Because even when I was doing the trainee stuff and like I was doing the acting and modeling, nobody let me really speak English.
Right.
So
like, if you're not practicing it, mm-hmm. like, you're gonna forget it.
For sure.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, like, just speaking about your experience living in Korea, like, through those years, I mean, did you ever, like, get a sense of, like, imposter syndrome? I mean, I know, like, we've, like, talked about it a mm-hmm. little bit. Mm-hmm. But, like, even just a sense of, like, maybe this isn't for me, like, post not debuting, like, how did you ever have that?
Yeah, I think I've always had that. I think I've even had that while I was training. Mm. And I think I still have that till this day.
Me too, dude.
Yeah.
yeah, we're the same.
Yeah. It's just hard. It's really difficult to ever, I think, overcome it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always just going to be a battle within myself. I don't know how I'll overcome it, but I'm sure, like, even today, I've just been faking it, you know? It's like...
Me my entire life. I honestly think, like, my mentality of, like, okay, let's be delusional has a lot to do with, like, nobody knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Our parents raising us, no chance they knew what they were doing. Like, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you go to, like, books and use your resources and, like, all of that. But, like, no, I totally feel you. 'Cause I think... I mean, I'm sure it's, like, a little different, but I think my entire life, it was, like, my value was placed in my intelligence. Like, it was always, you're smart.
I never had that.
Oh.
Must be nice.
I mean, yes, because, like, now I, like, very much believe that I'm smart. Mm. But I, like, was recently listening to a podcast. It's the Huberman Lab. And they were talking about how, like, when... you're very much, like, characterized by, like, intelligence or, like, you're smart rather than, like, the effort that you're putting in. If, like, ever I would get, like, a bad grade on a test or, like, a bad grade in general, it, like, directly goes against, like, who I pride myself and value myself to be. And so they actually said, like, it does more harm because you're constantly trying to live up to... you're smart rather than, oh, I'm a hard worker. Oh, I, like, gave a lot of effort. I gave my 100%. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually been trying to, like, change that mentality. 'Cause I think there have been, like instances recently, like, right. I interviewed for a job. Mm-hmm. I had a case study interview. They mm-hmm. were literally asking me, okay, if you had to break down the financials of our company and, like, tell us, like, how much money is spent in a day, like, revenue costs, like, how would you do that? I think, like, I lacked the confidence because rather than telling myself, okay, like, let's just try to get through this, it was like, I'm smart. I should know how to do this. Mm. Like, it's almost like I was harder on myself in a sense.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, I've, like, built this sense of, like, imposter syndrome in more recent years because I don't know. I, like, feel a little not as smart anymore, you know? Like, yeah, when your value is placed outside of you, it's so fragile mm-hmm. rather than, like, oh, I'm a valuable human being just because I'm alive mm-hmm. and here and mm-hmm. trying, you know?
Right.
And so I, you know, when I think about, like, you and your experience, maybe a parallel could be, like, your value being placed in, like, how you look, how you dance, how you sing. Like, do you think, like, you, like, relate to that statement of, like, your value being outside of you?
I think... before I had this new current job, even up till, like, 2 years ago, yes.
Mm.
But now that the sole focus of what I do and my responsibility is uplifting others, my mindset has changed. And I think we talked about it, like, of course, I do have moments where it's like, oh, my God, is this person a effing idiot?
Right. Like, why are you so incompetent?
Right. Yeah. But I've become better with trying to understand that they come from a place that I don't, you know? Mm. I have something to learn. They have something to learn. It's just, it is what it is. And it's like, why get upset with small things?
Right.
So I think this new job has really helped me focus on not just me, and more of kind of like the bigger picture.
Which I, like, I just got chills. Like, I love that. Like, I feel, like, the confidence, like, radiating out of you. Because, like, right? You just said you weren't like told like you're smart, mm-hmm. but like coming into this job, like, bro, you're freaking killing it.
No, like, no, it's not that. I'm faking it.
But you're still, even if it's fake, you are killing it.
I'm just confident with not knowing what I don't know.
Ooh, I like that mentality.
Because I'd rather learn mm-hmm. than fuck up something really bad and then try to come up with an excuse.
It's just
stupid and it's wasting everybody's time.
Right.
It takes so much energy. You're stressed.
Right.
So yeah.
Like, let's own up to it.
Yeah.
And be like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, I always tell you, like, I'll do something and I'll be like, well, like, I'm not good with math. And it could be something about, like, even age. And I'm like, just tell me your age. Oh. Like, if they give me your year, I'm like, give me your age.
I'm like, why are you making me do extra math? Yeah,
like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just, like, when I don't know something, I'm just like, oh, I don't know what that is.
Oh. I love that. Mm. I think, like, coming from a place of curiosity is always, like, something I try to embody. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think admitting that I don't know something is like a big, huge part of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess like for the people, just like so they have some context. So you were on the talent side of the industry,
right?
Of the entertainment industry, and then you transitioned into the business side of the entertainment industry,
right?
And so how did like that come about? Like, did you always, were you always like, oh, okay, now that I've had this experience, I can like transition over, or like, was this a backup plan, or like how did you come into your current gig?
Okay, this, I don't know how this is gonna sound. Mm. It might sound like I'm boasting, but I'm not. Everything really just happened. Like, even me getting into the K-pop trainee stuff just happened. Winning Miss Korea, just like, I just went out for, right. I just thought, oh, it looks pretty, why not?
Right.
And then I was like the tallest of my year, so like I got it. And then like they were like, oh, you should act. So I was just like, okay.
Right, tried, you're just that. Saying yes to,
yeah, I just said yes to everything.
Oh.
And like, even for this new job, honestly, I moved back from Korea with no plan. I had no internship, no resume. I didn't know what a LinkedIn was.
She's so cute. She's so naive. I spent so many freaking hours on LinkedIn and it stressed me out. So I almost feel like that's better.
Yeah, I just didn't understand how. I was like, how are people applying for jobs? Because in Korea, there's apps.
Oh, because I mean, Korea's ahead of us for sure.
I was just like, oh my God, how do I find a job? How do I look for jobs? Like, where do people apply? And then I found out that there was something called a LinkedIn. And so then I started trying to learn about what that was and how to do it. And at that time, I still didn't have anything to put on my resume.
Right. Because your entire experience was like
being a talent.
Right.
And nobody needs that in a corporate job.
Yeah. That sounds like very stressful.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just become a Pilates instructor. Because I was like, I've done Pilates for my entire life.
Oh, I can see that.
Should I move it?
All right. No. I'm just moving mine. Yeah, I know you're fine. I'm like, no. I was just opening my eyes.
No, because like, I'm so used to it. Like, when we're on stage, or like when you're on stage, you know, sometimes you'll do like some like
a little look.
Like, yeah, like usha.
Yeah, like smile. Yofuruga.
So I wasn't sure if it was like a signal.
I respect that. I respect that so hard. Oh my gosh. Because I've definitely had those experiences where I'm like, can you freaking talk right now? I'm like, hey.
Yeah. Okay. What was I saying?
Oh, Pilates instructor.
No, Pilates instructor. So I thought I was going to be a Pilates instructor. And I was working on getting a certificate. And out of the blue, a friend of mine was moving over to this company.
Oh.
And she was like, do you have a job? And I was like, no, I don't. She's like, great. I think you'd be perfect for this position. You know entertainment. You've been in it, especially like in the Korea side. And that's when Squid Game was popping off.
Oh, wow. What a prime time to get in.
Yeah. I honestly had no idea. I had zero context about this company.
Right.
I didn't know what the position was.
Right.
I just didn't understand it because it was so, there was like, nothing like that in Korea.
Right. It's like, completely new.
Right. But I needed a job. So I was like, okay, why not? I'll take it. And I was like, the only thing I was good at was being bilingual. And
which is huge.
Yeah, but I didn't know how huge it was.
Right, right.
So just took the job, didn't get any training. And it was like a brand new fucking world. I fucked up the first week.
Oh, that's so freaking terrifying.
Like, I didn't leave my desk because I thought, what if the phone rings and I can't answer it?
Oh my God.
So I didn't like go to the bathroom.
It's like you're just trying to get a UTI. Like literally trying to just make your life so hard. Oh my God.
Hard. It was very hard.
Right.
And I usually don't cry easily.
Mm.
And even if I do, it's like private. But I just remember being so overwhelmed, so upset that I didn't know anything.
Oh.
That I literally cried at my desk like 3 days straight. The best advice that I got from my first mentor in this business, if you're gonna cry, and find something else.
Oh.
Because you can't survive.
I see. And so from there?
And from there, I just stopped crying.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, I cried in secret. Or,
right.
You know, in the bathroom or like on the way home.
Right.
But I made sure that no one else would ever see me cry.
But yeah, I guess, you know, being that you came into like more of a business world, when you came from a background of like being on the talent side, did you ever feel imposter syndrome on this side?
Ooh, because I came from a talent side?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
I actually didn't really open up about my past life.
Celine song.
Uh-huh. Until recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So none of your coworkers knew?
No, not until recently.
Oh my gosh. What prompted you to share?
I just... Because it was like I would have to start my life story like abruptly, like in the middle-ish end. And then they're like, okay, but like what about...
Like, how did you grow up?
And I'm just like, you know?
Right. Like, oh, Hannah's being shady.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I just started just telling people. And I was like, yeah, look, like I had a whole nother life and I had a whole different career.
Whoa.
And I've started much later than normal people in the industry. But I think it gives me somewhat of an advantage. And it differentiates me because I'm not saying that they don't respect the craft and the artist, but mm-hmm. I think I just have a different empathetic relationship with materials and projects and, you know, maybe the way that a talent might choose to do a certain line or deliver it a certain way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's like an invaluable perspective, mm-hmm. right? Because I always hear from like actors, it's so much easier when like the director, when the producers have acted because mm-hmm. like you understand how this works, like you understand our struggles. And yeah. so, right, same with you. Like when I hear you like talk about the scripts that mm-hmm. you read, I always like I'm like very I admire the lens in which you like read things because I feel like it's more well-rounded than like, you know, like, oh, this is a very two-dimensional mm-hmm. I'm reading a script. It's more so like, oh, I can see this brought to life by this character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can see how this is going to be acted mm-hmm. and whatnot. And so yeah, totally invaluable. But yeah, I mean, I had literally like I feel like our experiences have been like flip-flop. Like, right, I was very academic, very business-oriented. And now I'm like, oh, I'm forced to be a talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, am I feeling a little bit of imposter syndrome?
Oh, it's
like,
think?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. Because I had my episode with one of my, like, childhood best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, she's known me from fourth grade on. Mm-hmm. And so we went through all grades together. But on that episode, Chelsea was sharing like, oh, Hannah used to be so quiet. Like literally when she met me in fourth grade, I was hiding behind my mom. I was so shy. Like I moved to the new school and whatnot. And, you know, thinking back, I'm like, oh, I did used to be really quiet. I was like a nice girl, but I was so scared and shy. Like,
I can't imagine.
Right. And so like, you know, I think I've grown into myself in more recent years, but I still like have a bit of like, oh, am I made for this? Am I able to do this? Like, have I, am I confident enough that like I can just talk and like be entertained, like, you know, entertaining for a living? Like, I don't know. I don't know if it like is enough, but I think like that just kind of comes with the territory. Like, right.
Yeah.
It's a very like fake it till you make it world, no matter what side you're on, creative or business, whatnot, everything in the middle. Maybe you shouldn't fake it till you make it if you're like in the medical industry.
Like, maybe you shouldn't fake it till you make it if like people's lives are in your hands. Oh, yikes.
Oh my gosh, that's so terrifying. But we're like, you know, it's not a life or death for us. Yeah, I do think it's just like you have to just like be delusional, put your effort into it, and like hopefully things pan out.
Yeah That's why I respect you so much, and I learn so much from you literally every day. Even like if we're not texting every day, it's just you to me from the outside. I don't know what's going inside, but it's like you're so confident, right? Not egotistical, but confident. And you're so confident to be vulnerable and to also organically let people feel around you safe enough to be vulnerable, which is why I think you were able to create Prugogi Podcast and still continue it and have people listen to it and like want to be involved in it.
That's so nice.
Don't cry.
I'm literally gonna cry.
No, seriously though.
Wow. Because I think that's like at my core, like what I wanted to create with this. And so I guess like hearing the validation that like, yeah, I'm pulling off like, you know, the environment of like vulnerability and like, right, I want to always create a safe space for people to like open up. Wow.
But that's not just here. That's, I don't know how many people that listen know you personally, but if you don't, you should. But yeah, even like people that you're not like close friends with, you just have this aura where people do feel safe. And it's not where you're like, okay, like do it my way. It's not like that. It's just like you have a leadership aura about you, but it's like comfortable.
Oh, whoa.
And it's safe.
Oh, whoa.
And like, even though I may be like a ginormous monster compared to you,
she's not.
I feel so protected when I'm with you, and I feel like invincible. And like, maybe that's why I have no filter when I'm with you and I just say shit. But like, I think that's literally with everybody. I've met so many great people through you, and the way that I see the relationship and how they are with you and around you is exactly the same. It's consistent.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah,
no, I'm like beyond thankful that like we have like built this incredible friendship. Because I love that you're unfiltered. Like, I love that, like, you're able to, like, 100% say anything, literally anything. And I'm like, ooh.
Sometimes I shouldn't, though.
No, sometimes you shouldn't. Absolutely. There are a lot of times where I'm like, this is staying here, but it's staying here and it's safe. You will never get canceled in my circle. Maybe another, no.
Yeah, that one I'm around.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm like so thankful for this friendship.
Me
and
too.
Like, so thankful to like see you like thriving. Like, same. You know, I didn't know you pre entertainment, working, grind era, boss woman, boss babe. Girl, boss,
woman,
AAPI era. But like, I'm so like happy because I feel like all of your talents and like your will and like your kind-heartedness of like wanting to lift up talent is like finally like able to like shine through in this very tough industry. And so yeah, I applaud you because like genuinely without people like you, like,
oh, stop. Now this is when we start like giving compliments.
Yeah. So yeah. We're going to end it.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me.
I always love it. I love talking to you. I'm like, always like, hey, Hannah, what's up? Hey, she's Hannah. Like,
it's like Barbie.
Yeah. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, if you guys want to give Hannah a follow on the socials, where can they find you?
I only have Instagram, but it's private. Okay. So if you want to find me. But if you don't, totally fine.
Okay, got it. But other than that, you guys can give us a follow. I'm going to do the whole like, comment, subscribe, of course. Mm-hmm. Ask because it helps us out a lot. And so, yeah, like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. And yeah, thank you guys for your continued support. And we will see you next week. Yay! Are we starting to sound like...